We are so excited to welcome you to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we are going to continue our Faith and Work series as we talk about professional Christians. Yes. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird, but our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Come on.
Yes.
Definitely be weird today. Today we will
be
weird.
Yeah, we're all in a mood.
We're all working on two brain cells.
We're all in a share.
So. That we share?
That we share.
There are three of us.
Yeah.
Yikes. Her point stands.
Yeah. Yes.
Help. Oh, man. All right. I'm tetter-tetting today. This one, when I put it on my list, I was like, this is just funny and going to call us out.
No.
No.
Hey.
Don't do it.
No. It's so funny. I swear mine is the same.
Don't do it, girl.
Don't do it, girl.
No, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
I did it. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. It requires your phone.
Oh, okay.
Who's the last person on your missed call list?
My brother.
Oh. Your brother.
Why do you know that already?
Because he called me while we were downstairs and I said decline.
The doctor.
There we go.
Why didn't you answer their call?
I was counseling a student.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's
thank
fine.
You.
That's a good one. That's fine. That's fine.
Mine's my mom.
Yep.
Mine's my mom, and then upon further investigation, it's my mom a lot.
Oh, no.
That's hilarious.
It's my mom a lot, probably because you know why? I call her and she doesn't answer.
Yes.
You guys know that. I feel like everyone relates to that when they like call their mom and your mom doesn't answer. And you're like,
why?
What are you doing? No. Mom?
Y'all,
what?
I have to tell you.
You're my mom. Answer my what?
I literally had a feud with my mother.
Feud?
For the past week and a half.
Oh.
Wow. Long.
Oh, yeah.
Recent history.
Yes. Yeah. Like current ongoing.
Oh, no.
Because this beautiful woman who birthed me decided she doesn't want to be in my life anymore because she didn't answer my calls.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I'm being dramatic, Jordan. Allow me to be dramatic.
Go off, girl.
Tell us more, though.
I called her. She didn't call me back. So I called her again, like the next day. She didn't call me back.
Oh.
So I called her one more time and she didn't call me back. And I said, you know what? Fine, Robin. I'm calling Terry. I'm not calling Robin anymore.
Whoa.
And I call my dad and he calls me every time. He answers every time. Or he calls me back every time.
Go, Dad.
She didn't even realize she hadn't spoken to me in a week.
Ow.
And I said, I don't remember. I think my brother was over or something. And I was like, yeah. If you want to tell Mom I'm mad at her, that you can. And he said, what?
Did she call you back?
No.
Because Nathan told her no?
No.
When did you talk to your mom last?
Well, I went over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went over there.
To confront her?
No.
Oh, okay.
You said, Mom, I'm here for Dad. I'm here for Dad, Mom.
I actually did. I said, hey, Dad.
Oh, wow. And, man.
She goes, painful. I'm so sorry. I meant to call you, and I just forgot. And I was like,
you're like, I know.
I'm aware.
I know.
For a week and a half. Okay.
And, like,
yeah, that would hurt my feelings.
I talk to them every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did you not?
Fine. Yeah. So, oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's yeah. Fine. It's established that my brother's her favorite. It's fine.
Oh. That doesn't make that any easier.
Yeah. No. It's worse. It's way worse.
She's going to be so upset when she listens to this. I love you. I know he's not your favorite.
We love you.
Is.
Yeah. I okay. mean, you know, we all say that, but.
Well, my last real missed call was Abby. She called me when I was napping.
That's tough.
Yeah. It was one of my 3-hour naps recently. Yeah.
Well, I like that you specified your last real missed call.
Yeah.
Outside like of the doctor.
I feel like that was a fake one. Call. That was kind of a cop-out. Yeah. Sorry, Abby. She texted me and I texted her back.
That's good.
We're fine.
That's good.
I'm really
That's
bad.
Good. That's good.
That is.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm-mm. How's it? Nothing crazy, guys.
Okay.
Nothing like crazy. It. Just more of like a... Check yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Who was my last missed call?
So we're hearing we don't answer our family's calls. And you're asleep.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Vertigo, man. You know?
Vertigo.
Makes you sleepy,
vertigo.
Apparently.
Vertigo.
Vertigo. Get out of here.
Vertigo.
Well.
Wow.
Moving on. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
highlighted the whole page.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
To professional Christians.
Professional Christians.
What do we mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Is that a term? Is that a phrase? How do we properly...
What is a term or phrase? How do I find myself asking?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know if we say that professional Christians is a term or a phrase or a... Is there another one? Is there a third option? I don't know.
Well, are we considering professional Christians as a definition?
I think it would...
Are we defining?
It's not a title.
Okay. No. So are we defining a professional Christian?
I would say it's a type of Christian, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I had this conversation today with my friend who is what I would categorize as a professional Christian because he works for a church.
Okay.
So professional Christian to me is a category. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be described as a person who works for the church. But some people would say that a professional Christian is a pastor or teacher specifically.
Mm.
Okay. So I think I think there could be differences there too.
So it could be a title.
No.
It's still a category, but they just narrow the category.
Because title would be pastor, teacher, elder. Counselor, elder,
fair.
Deacon.
Okay.
Missionary.
Yes.
Hmm.
I think professional Christians is just something someone made up one day, and we all have been using it since.
Yeah.
It's kind of like professional. Actually, I think it's used in different ways. Yeah. Some people don't like being called that.
Well, and also, like, I think that, because, I mean, obviously it has roots in the New Testament because, you know, do y'all know the phrase a tent maker? He's a tent maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that stems from Paul was not like his vocation mm-hmm. was not strictly mission work. It was also he was a tent maker to provide funds for him to further the word.
Yeah. Jesus was a carpenter.
Right.
I am a school counselor.
Yes.
First and foremost, I am a Christian.
Amen. So when we are doing this, we are talking about professional Christians in that they are not working in the secular world.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we knew that.
Yeah. It's good to explain it.
Yes. I think I like we knew what we were talking about it.
Yeah. I just like the way that Rachel just said it.
Yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're good with the words.
She is.
But I did ask one of my coworkers who is a pastor. I said, I want to ask you about being a professional Christian. He goes, I hate that phrase. Mm. It's like, say more. So in his point of view, the phrase makes it seem like being a Christian is my job. Mm. It's not. It's who I am. Mm. That should be true of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And he even was saying, like, it can kind of put people who are working for the church in a kind of upper category, which could make people think that they are seen as holier than thou. Like, oh, wow, you're a professional. Like, you work for the church. And that's mm-hmm. not how it's supposed to be. And so he brought up Ephesians 4. We see that Paul tells us God gave teachers, pastors, overseers to equip the saints.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it is primarily my job to do my work in ministry to equip the saints. That doesn't make me anything other than this particular part of the body of Christ, which is what we see in 1 Corinthians 12, because mm-hmm. we are all members of the same body. We are called to do different things, and we even do the same thing differently in some areas. Like, we see people who are pastors, but they preach differently, like in different styles. Some people are going to be more exegetical. Some people are going to bring in more personal life experience to connect with people. And one thing he said that I liked, if ministry doesn't exist outside of the church, then the church does not function the way it is supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. Way to talk. So, to be called to work for the church is the same thing as me feeling called to be a school counselor.
Yes.
That is where the Lord has me right now.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be where the Lord has me forever, but I do this because it's what I know the Lord has for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord had me working at the church, at our church years ago, but that's where he had me at that time.
Yeah.
And so that can change. Now, I wasn't
teaching, definitely not preaching. I was working in the counseling ministry and for the kids ministry. So I was working for the church.
Yeah.
But professional Christians, people who are working for the church, they are not above people who are not. They are, however, held to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of our pastors, elders, deacons, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are doing the work to equip us. And so they are rightly held to a higher standard, as we see in scripture.
Right. I think that it's also important to note that, I mean, our world, because like what you were saying earlier, like people can see them as holier than thou, or yeah. like someone to look up to. And it's, yes, we do need individuals who are following the Lord to follow and mm-hmm. imitate. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 or 11, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
So ultimately our guide is to be the Lord and Christ, and he does give us examples on earth to follow. And those oftentimes are what we call quote professional Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But we have gotten into a celebrity status culture. And I think that that mm-hmm. is something that is not uncommon. What was the scripture on, do not follow Peter, do not follow Paul, but follow Christ? Do you know what I'm talking about, Joe?
Yeah.
I'm gonna find it. Okay, so it's 1 Corinthians 3:4. For when one man says, I follow Paul, and another say, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, though whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So yes, God does appoint people to be servants who plant and water.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ultimately God who does the work in your heart. Mm-hmm. So we do need people who, to encourage us. We are a body of believers. There are people who are going to shepherd and guide. But they're not the ones who save. And so we shouldn't look to them as though they are
yeah.
untouchable. I think mm-hmm. is my point there.
Yeah. And then 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Yeah.
You mean 11:1?
What did I say?
1:11.
You know, here we are. 1 Corinthians 11:1.
There we go.
Be imitators of me as I am of Christ.
Yeah.
Two brain cells.
Yeah.
Tell me again why your colleague said he hated the phrase professional Christians.
Because of the connotation in which people could hear that and think that it's like we are set apart, like holier than thou. I'm better than you because I work for the church, which is not how it should be. And unfortunately, we do see an unhealthy amount of examples. I think people who are very interested in getting the praise of man because of their status mm-hmm. as a head pastor of fill in the blank church. One of the things that I love about our church is that all of our pastors say, I'm one of the pastors.
Yeah.
I think that that is, I don't know if they're doing that on purpose, but I think that is kind of like a built-in humbling
mm-hmm.
and recognition of this is heavy. It's not about me, but I am one of the people who is shepherding and stewarding this church.
Mm-hmm. They are doing on purpose because of how we as a church, like there isn't a
hierarchy.
Yeah. How we all vote together. I don't know the word I'm thinking of, but they've mentioned it before that they do say that on purpose because there's not one of them can't decide, like overrule.
Unilaterally make a decision.
Yeah. Yes.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because when you have one man who has created for himself an environment where he holds all the power, that is very easily corrupted.
Yeah.
Because man's heart desires power.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why, I mean, when you are handling the word and when you are, quote, a professional Christian and someone who's guiding others, you are held, like, yes, they're not above, but they are held to a higher standard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just biblical.
And we've talked about that a few times now. Do we want to talk about what that higher standard is?
Yeah. There are multiple places in scripture. One of them is in Titus, and we can see the qualification for elders. There are clear guidelines. Do I want to use that word? clear guidelines.
I think instructions.
Instructions. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are clear instructions. And so in Titus, we see Titus 1, verses 5 through 16, talks about the qualifications for elders. So I won't read the entire passage, but I will point out a few qualifications. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. Not arrogant, quick-tempered, drunkard, violent, greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. Very specific words. He should not be this. He should be this.
Mm-hmm.
And when churches who are gospel-centered, who are going to stand on the foundation of Scripture, are looking at men, even for deacons and for elders and for pastors, they are looking for these attributes, that they are hospitable, that they are lovers of good, that they are self-controlled, that they are upright, they are holy, they are disciplined. That is a high calling. That is a high standard. And it's good that it is that.
Mm-hmm. So 2 Timothy is a letter to Timothy, who is a young professional Christian. He mm-hmm. is someone who is looking to spread the word of God. And so in 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes to him about certain qualifications of the men he is to surround himself with,
mm-hmm.
Who are going to be able to teach others. So this is specifically for those who are to teach the word.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go into the specifics that 1 Corinthians goes into, but it does say, and I'm not going to read all of it either because it's the whole chapter, but it does say, so no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Essentially, do not get caught up in the gossip and mm-hmm. the dealings of this world so that you lose sight of the Lord. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first shares of the crop. So it is not a bad thing to pay pastors. I know that's a debate some places. I did not know that. Yeah. So there is nothing wrong with paying a pastor his rightful wage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How else is he going to support his family?
There are people who believe that pastors... I think more of it goes into how much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Instead of just paying outright. But
wow.
Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 14, a worker approved by God.
Mm.
So remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Mm. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. And then he names two. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Corinthians, you see a very black and white, shall not be a drunkard.
Titus.
Titus, sorry. Shall not be a drunkard, shall be the husband of one wife, shall be above reproach. So it's very black and white. And then mm-hmm. you see it fleshed out in Timothy, and in it, including that he has to have correct doctrine.
Yeah.
He has to not mishandle the truth, because when you're preaching, and even when you are talking to someone about Scripture, it is important that if you don't know or aren't sure, be okay with saying, let me look more into that.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with the word.
Yeah. Well, and I know we've said this many times before, but I am so thankful that I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that is regularly not just inviting, like, oh, you should, but like, please look into these, like, read your Bible, know your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because it should.
Yep.
We cannot be spoon-fed Christians. We should not be.
Mm-mm.
We can be. A lot of people are, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We should. And, like, pr- pray for the Lord to give you the desire to read his word. Mm. If you don't have that desire, ask him for it.
Yeah.
Ask him for the desire to spend time with him. Ask him, ask the Holy Spirit living in you, hey, remind me about God throughout the day so that I'm praying more. Mm-hmm. Give me the desire to read his word. Give me the discipline to do so.
Yeah.
Ask him for those things. And be praying for the professional Christians in your life, because it is a high calling. It is a high standard. Mm-hmm. If we're not regularly praying for the people who are leading us, that's not loving.
No.
We need to be praying for them. They need protection. Yeah. They need guidance. They need wisdom, all from the Lord.
Yeah.
And they are our brothers, and the females who are teaching, they're our sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're our shepherds. They protect us from the wolves that would infiltrate the church. And that's something else where it's when we pray for our pastors and our elders and our, quote, professional Christians, it's also praying against spiritual warfare because the enemy is going to target them so hard. Mm-hmm. And when they fall into temptation, that not just affects them in their immediate circle, but it affects the kingdom nationwide. That's why you see so many ripple effects when you have someone who is at a high level of respect, and then they do something and it's, you see people fall and question because it's, oh, I thought this person knew what they were talking about, but they didn't practice what they preach.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we also have to consider how much, trying to figure out how to phrase this. We need to consider how much am I leaning on my elder or pastor, or, you know, like, how much of my faith is dependent on what they are saying and what they are doing versus is my faith solid because it is founded on scripture. Of course it's going to shake you. I'm not saying it isn't going to shake you. Of course it's going to shake you if the person that you are following falls and falls hard. That's going to be difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
It should not shake your faith.
Right.
Because your faith is in Jesus. Your faith is in your Lord and in your Savior. Your faith is in the one true God. Mm-hmm. And so that's a both and. You can be both shaken and sure that Jesus is King.
Yeah.
I've been stuck on professional Christian this whole time.
Okay.
And hearing, I think when, obviously when I think about it on my own, it's so different than when I come here and sit with you guys and listen to everything that we're saying.
Yeah.
But then I just had like a, no, this makes so much sense. And so I want to break it down because I just had all this dialogue going on through my head. Mm-hmm. So when you were saying that your colleague does not like that phrase, I was kind of like, why not? But then I can also see how one wouldn't because, okay, so I'm going to start here. Christian. Mm-hmm. I'm doing definitions here.
Yeah.
As a noun, so describing a person as a Christian. Yes. It's a person who has received, this is just, you know, dictionary. A person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as an adjective, so describing said person, it's relating to, a Christian is relating to or professing Christianity or its teachings. Mm-hmm. So that would then make sense to then put the word professional in front of Christian if you're just if it's an adjective, because this is someone who's professional at its teachings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is their profession.
Yes, and so that to me makes it sound so much better because it's like, well, no, that person is professional because they have gone to school and you know, listen to others who are professional. And like, that's how you become a professional, right? Is you go and you learn more about this from other people and the teachings from history. Mm-hmm. And that classifies you as a professional.
Yeah.
Because on the other end of it, I could see it being like, well, why? Like, you're no one's perfect. No, we all fall as Christians. How can you be a professional Christian? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that you're professional at being a Christian. Right. It's that you're a professional at the Bible,
right?
The teaching of what scripture is saying.
Yeah.
I just needed to break it down.
I was really like struggling with it this whole time. And then I'm like, no, when we get the definitions and we really break it down, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I can understand why putting the word professional in front of Christian can be off-putting.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's also like they don't necessarily want people to feel like they have to act a certain way around them, if I was to guess.
Yeah. I think so. And also just, it's, I think, another example of people taking a good thing, like the definition that you just explained, Mo, and making it holier than thou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twisting it so that it's not, like, what an honor.
Yeah.
From what you're saying.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, well, they're, like, professional Christians.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like the tone, it's the insinuation. Yeah. So, yeah.
I have a question. I know where I stand on this, but I'm curious where y'all stand. And I don't think that there might be a right answer. I just don't know what it is.
Is the right answer your answer?
I think so. If I didn't, I wouldn't think it.
True.
Sure. When you were talking about that definition, and you're talking about someone who is studied, do we believe that you have to attend a seminary or some kind of Bible college or something in order to be a, quote, professional Christian?
Okay, define professional Christian. That's, then.
Okay, so in this scenario, I am defining professional Christian as a teacher or pastor. A elder, not an elder, but a pastor, someone who is teaching scripture from a pulpit regularly and leading a congregation or church, and or a missionary.
Where are they learning?
Like a professional missionary.
Where are they? So you're saying they're just getting their teachings from the Bible itself. They're taking everything that they're standing on the stage, whatever they're saying, is coming from the Holy Spirit and the Bible, and that's it.
Yeah, like they haven't done any study into church history. They haven't
gone to seminary,
or learned anything like that.
I personally probably, well, I think I would struggle with that.
Because, if they didn't, or if they did.
Yeah, if they did not. They
yeah.
But I would also probably have to think about it more and understand maybe, like, their background and who else is in, like, I guess just where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not doing any, I don't know. I don't want to eat my words here, but because, you know, I'm a thinker and I'm kind of talking out loud and I don't usually do this.
yeah, I'm honestly shocked. I love it, though.
I think right now, not really thinking too much into it, I would say I would struggle with it. I don't know if I think it would be, I don't know if I think a right or wrong answer, but right now,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, not thinking into it, I would probably struggle with that.
What do you think, Joe?
I think there are so many layers to it. At the end of the day, my preference would be to have a pastor, have pastors who have been through or are going through seminary.
Yep.
As a teacher, mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessary. I have learned from so many men and women who teach scripture at a Bible study or a conference or what have you, that do not have a degree in seminary, who are so evidently anointed by the Holy Spirit in their teaching, and they've not gone to seminary. They've studied the Word of God.
Yeah.
My mind could be changed if someone could give me good examples of pastors who have sound theology who are not seminary grads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking of like a college degree, like how many conversations I have now with students and I'm like, you don't have to go to college.
Yeah.
It's helpful in a specific line of work, but it's not necessary.
Yeah.
And so I think someone could get there. Like, I'm thinking of some of our elders who have not been through seminary, who, like, I would sit under their teaching as a pastor, but I know the specifics of them and mm-hmm. what they've been through and who they've learned from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I like the question.
Yeah.
I think what I just struggled with what you just said right there, Joe, is I feel like that adds an extra layer because this is teaching about eternal life, not just about things of the world. So, like, yeah, you don't have to go to college
mm-hmm.
to be a professional at something.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're entering this profession in, like, the world. And this profession as a Christian is teaching about eternal life, not just about things of this world. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm not following.
We share the brain cells right now. Sorry. I couldn't help it.
That was good.
That was really funny.
Here, I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm ready now. A little bit more though. Break it down.
I've got no more.
No, I'm glad at least. One. I'm glad at least you're following. Because I'm like, oh, no, I don't even. I mean, okay. I think I
did. I throw you off because I started using college as an example.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Maybe so,
I didn't mean for those to be interrelated.
Okay.
I think for the longest time, I like growing up, I was like, you go to high school, you go to college.
Yeah.
There wasn't, and so probably growing up, you go to high school. You go to seminary, you become a pastor.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm saying like I could be swayed mm-hmm. if life experience in the church could teach me differently mm-hmm. because I see how legalistic I was about like, well, you go to college.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here saying, well, you should go to seminary.
Yeah.
And then even as I'm speaking, I'm like, well, there are elders who I know did not go to seminary.
Yeah.
Who I would learn from.
Okay.
Did that clarify?
Yes. Yes. And again, you're saying like learn from, not
I don't know under if they
their,
would
sit yeah, under. Pastorate right. or whatever that's called.
Okay.
So I agree. And I am a little bit more like I will not be at a church where the pastor has not been to seminary or a Bible college of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is because I truly believe that scripture lays out a very clear tradition of sitting at the feet of those who understand the word. And so what I mean by that is, because it's not just, oh, I'm going to this Bible study and this man is very attuned to what the Lord has to say in scripture, which I think is it. Not just important, but vital for a Christian's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you look at the disciples, they literally sat at the feet of Jesus. And then
didn't go through seminary.
But that's what I'm saying.
Obviously, they had the better deal, correct?
Yeah, yeah, what better
but
seminary
if we're talking legalistic, because that's what just came into my mind. They were not the chosen ones who continued on to right. become...
Right. And so this is... Follow my thought here.
Okay.
So really try. Jesus was like the ultimate seminary degree you can get. Yes. Like he is God. You're literally getting, you're teaching directly from the word of God.
Yeah.
They in turn taught Peter and Paul, and they didn't just like, it wasn't just like they sat at a Sunday morning and they learned from them, but like these guys studied under them. They spent all day them. Yeah, yeah. Years and years and years studying and understanding and talking through situations and doing what you would traditionally do in a quote seminary classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we keep going, the further away from that divine presence that God had on earth as a man, the more heresies you see enter the church because mm-hmm. they're not getting it directly from
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is important for a pastor to understand the church history. And that is harder to do if you're not doing seminary. Obviously, I am a nerd. I love to study. But I am not a qualified one. I'm not a qualified leader because I'm who I am. But there's a lot of things there. But I
shut up.
Like I haven't been through a seminary course.
Yeah.
And I don't know the history of the church like our pastor does.
Yeah.
And so that is why you have to understand where we've been. So one, you don't fall into the traps that have come before.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important to read the word of God. Yes. As the word of God. And it is great to know the context of it because we've talked about the context.
So when you're saying history of the church, you mean in reference to having the correct context?
Yes.
Okay. So,
sorry to derail us.
No, that I'm just, it's gotten me
Can thinking. I ask a would you rather?
I yeah.
Love or that. Did you have something like?
It's still marinating.
Okay. So would you rather go to a church that you have the same theological views as the person on stage, the pastor, but that pastor has not gone to seminary? Or would you rather go to a church where the pastor has gone to seminary, but you differ on theological?
I don't think anybody who agrees with me theologically would not have been to seminary and be a pastor.
Okay.
I just don't
worm your way right out of that one, Rach.
I genuinely cannot think of anyone who...
Rachel had a third option.
Because, like, if I am speaking as a Reformed Baptist, that is the general view of Reformed Baptists.
So there was a right answer to your question, then.
I am not going to say... Because I don't know the right answer to that question. If I thought that I was wrong, I wouldn't think it. But I don't, like, this is one of those where it's like, I'm not going to die on that hill. I am not going to die on it. This is what I think. I'm not going to die on the hill. I think I'm right, but I'm not going to die on the hill.
Okay.
So if you can show me in scripture and help me understand how that wouldn't be, great.
I would go with option A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. I think there would cause strife between me and my brothers and sisters in Christ if I was week after week going somewhere where I did not agree with, like, secondary and tertiary things theologically.
Yeah, and being in that room full of all those other people also going to this church. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not how it should be in the body.
Yeah.
I can go to a different church, and, like, I have people who I love, and we go to very different churches, and we disagree on things, and we talk about the things we disagree on, but we're not together on a Sunday morning, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Silly.
I like that.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I liked it. Wow. So, those of us who are not professional Christians.
Yes.
That's us, everyone in this room.
We've talked about it a little bit, but what should we be doing for our professional Christian brothers and sisters, and how should we be encouraging our brothers and sisters who are not professional Christians?
Okay, wait, I'm going to need to run that back.
Yeah.
Okay.
First, what should we be doing for our professional Christian brothers and sisters who their full-time job is working for the church in ministry?
The first thing we should do is pray for them. Yes. I mean, and we talked about that.
Yeah.
Because those are the people with the... Like, we as believers all have a bullseye on us for if the enemy cannot kill us, because he can't, he is going to try and either numb us or prevent us from spreading the gospel. And so we have a bullseye. Professional Christians, quote, have a massive bullseye, because that is literally their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And so if we can pray for them and cover them in prayer, like, that is the best thing we can do for them. That we should do more, but that is the best thing.
What more should we do?
I mean, prayer, I think, is number one. I think also, like, I like to thank them. Mm-hmm. I like to hype them up, because also they are doing a great job at their job, if they're doing a great job at their job.
Yeah, and they deserve to hear that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's loving, too, to hype them up like that.
Yeah.
I also think tithing is important.
Yeah.
Supporting them, not just emotionally, but also financially. I think that we are called to do that as believers. There is a reason why when God was setting aside land and inheritance for the tribes of Israel, the Levites, who are the professional, quote, they're not Christians, but, like, the professional religious sect of people, they didn't get a land. They didn't get the others. That God expected his children to provide for them and dictated that in law. Mm-hmm. And that is, we should follow that as believers.
Yeah. I think also I like the practice of sabbatical.
Oh, yeah.
Allowing people who have served however many years to full on take time away from it so that they do not run into burnout, which we will talk about
next week. Nice, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's very real.
Yeah.
It is shepherding, stewarding what the Lord has given. I mean, and we'll talk next week. We all can fall into burnout. It's not just professional Christians, but because it is such a weighty calling, mm-hmm. I think sabbatical is important. Yeah. I think how you do it is important.
Yes.
I've seen it done poorly. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe what our church does is 5 years.
Mm-hmm. They do a rotation. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I like that.
So explain what that means.
Explain
every,
what it means.
So every 5 years.
Oh, so every, yeah. So if you're in full-time staff, now is it just pastors?
No, it's not just pastors because they expect it's our full-time elders staff to do it as well.
Okay. Then you take sabbatical, which is time away from the work, and then you come back to the work.
Yeah. They take 5 years or when you've been there for 5 years?
When you've been there Thank for you. 5 years.
Okay.
Important clarifier. When you have been working full-time for 5 years,
yeah.
At that mark, you... And I mean, if it's like March, you might not get your sabbatical until June. Sure. But like, you take a significant amount of time away. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've seen our church do a good job of that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That's a great one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like, in an effort of being others focused, it could be a good practice for those of us who are not professional Christians to keep our eyes on those who are working for the church, find needs, and fill them.
Yeah.
Like, babysit for your pastor and his wife so they can go on a date.
Yeah.
Make them dinner. Like, write them a thank you note. You said, like, think in person. Like, write them a thank you note. Like, see where people need to be loved and love them in those ways. So... how then, for those of us who are not professional Christians, just like a quick reminder, how can we be encouraging one another in the workplace? Believer to believer.
Yeah. So I like this question because I work with a few guys who are, they're not, I wouldn't say they're like new Christians, but they're newly excited about their faith. Hmm. And sometimes they can be discouraged because they're like, oh, I'm not a professional Christian. I don't know what I'm doing. Therefore, I cannot spread the gospel or spread the word.
Like, they question themselves.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that it is good for us as believers to encourage each other in that the Great Commission was given to all of us. It is not just for, quote, pastors or missionaries or elders to tell other people about Christ. It is our job as well. And when we are talking with younger believers, and when I'm saying younger, I don't mean age. I mean tenure of faith or maturity of faith. It's good to encourage them that, no, like, the Lord has done a good work in your life, mm-hmm. and you are to share that.
Yeah.
And you are to share. You are to have an answer for the hope that is within you.
Yeah. That's good. Mo, what do you think?
I think that an encouragement could also be in, like, not just direct words, like speaking directly to someone, but I think an encouragement could also be like how you act. Mm. So, you know, you just like making sure you're showing the fruits of the Spirit, and mm-hmm. you know, you're showing what you value and the way that you act and the things that you do and mm-hmm. things that you say. I think that can be a good encouragement. Yeah. All that to say, I think, like, just showing your values and the fruits and the way that you act.
Displaying them even when it's awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can be encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to, like, to go back and apologize when you have not displayed the fruits of the Spirit.
True.
Right? To be humble enough to go back and say, hey, this happened. I didn't handle it well. I want to apologize and talk to you about it when you're ready. I hope you can forgive me.
Yeah.
Asking for forgiveness where most people wouldn't. One, I think it's kind of like a shock value. Like, oh, wow. Like, because most people wouldn't, right?
Right.
And I think, too, just reminding each other we are in a place where the professional Christians aren't.
Yeah.
It is the pastor's job to equip the saints that are at his church.
Equip them to what?
To scatter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's their job. And, like, that's that's why we have this name. We hear it often. We gather at the church. We are equipped so that we can scatter well.
Yep.
It's the whole point.
Yep.
Church. And yep. We can be in parts of the world that are unreached by our professional Christian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And that's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
So we should take that, truly consider the value that we have, the opportunity that is our work field,
mm-hmm.
and go each day. My mom sent me something this morning, something along the lines of someone saying, when I wake up, I want my first thought to be, Lord, come into my mind before I get in there.
Mm.
Wow.
That's great.
Love that.
Right. Because often I wake up and I'll pray, like, Lord, thank you for today. Be with me. But I wonder how different my days would look if I was like, Lord, you be in my mind before I get there and help me. Like, what if I pray, guys, what if I prayed every day, Lord, let me tell someone about the gospel today and give me the opportunity to do that? Are we praying that every day?
Yeah.
I don't think we are. I'm not praying that every day.
I think Rach was just agreeing with you. Not saying yeah.
Will he do it?
Will he though?
He'll do it.
He will.
Yeah.
We just need to ask him for more. So we gather and we scatter.
Yay.
Woo.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Man. That was
my whistle.
That was bad.
I know. That's where I am.
So I...
We're here. We're barely here.
I can't whistle out. I can only whistle in. So in, out. Oh, I got
some in there.
Yeah, you got one.
Okay. Oh, that one's harder.
I used to not be able to snap. That's why I snap all the time now.
Oh, because you're proud. What finger do you snap with?
My middle.
Mo?
Yeah.
I do this one, the ring finger.
Ring? What? I have no
I cannot snap with my middle finger.
I don't have listen strength to that. In there either. That's crazy.
That's wild.
Can you do it there?
Oh, yeah. I can't snap with this hand.
Fun facts.
What?
Yeah.
Can you guys lick your elbow?
Can you?
Yeah.
Prove it.
It's my party trick.
Stop.
No, you stop.
Stop it right now.
How have we been friends for this long and I've never seen that before?
Because it's just my party trick.
We've been to parties.
People think it's impossible. Sometimes. This is hilarious.
Look how far I am.
So far. That's closer. That's closer, yeah. That was good.
Okay.
All right, we're done.
That was so fun, though. Wow.
Derailed. Okay.
Hilarious. Any last thoughts? Professional Christians.
No.
Going once. Going twice. No, this was good.
Yeah.
It was. That brain cell worked.
That brain cell came together. I think we're down to one.
Well, it'll lead into our next episode.
Oh.
What is it?
There you go.
Burnout.
Yes.
Well, burnout. Thank you guys so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. But yes, as I just mentioned. Next episode, we are going to continue in our Faith and Work series by talking about burnout. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I know it well.
You guys can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And also be sure to follow our Instagram page.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow.